Welcome to the Best of Fives, Grady's Edition, where we take our childhood and middle age memories and meld them together to come up with the top five of what we remember of a certain category. Since we just did Roger Rabbit last week, we are going to do famous actors who did voiceovers. Because we all enjoy voiceover actors, but recently, and we were talking about it, that you know, you get a big name.
Now it's a big name.
Now it's a big name.
You gotta hit the press.
Yeah. So we went through and compiled our top five list of celebrity voiceovers.
Cool.
So, yeah. With me is Dave.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
All right, so let's start with our number five, David.
Yes. Well, this I had to clarify, as I often do, because I overthink everything. So I had to ask you if we were doing only completely animated movies, or if it was, you know, we could do things, because this is based on Roger Rabbit, which is obviously live action mixed with animation. And you said, do whatever I want, right?
Within reason.
Okay, thank you. So my number five is actually my most recent thing, and it's Bradley Cooper as Rocket in Guardians of the Galaxy.
He's on my mention. Yeah.
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 And I never even saw the second one. I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Next week.
There you go.
It comes out on
the 8th.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Well, I'm certainly going to check that out. And one of the reasons I would is because of him. The movie's great on its own, but what he adds to it, there isn't a time where he isn't making me laugh or making me want to cry, because I love Bradley Cooper and mm-hmm. I always, like, from the first time I saw him, I think the first time I really knew who he was Wedding Crashers, where he played a complete jerk.
Oh yeah, I forgot he was in that.
And he transformed that and being the friend in a lot of movies like Yes Man and stuff like that to being one of our best leading men in working in movies today. So the fact that he's still doing things like this, I'm sure he got paid handsomely for it, but
and he got to go to work in his pajamas
and he did the ride. Yeah, he got to do the ride, the new,
it's really, really well done. He makes, I mean, when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, people were kind of like, this might be the one that knocks Marvel for a loop. Like, you know, they had this chain of hits and now you're gonna do what? And there's a tree and a what and a raccoon. But
and get Chris Pratt, who is sort of,
yeah,
he's the guy from, you know,
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, he's not going to be a hero.
Sure.
No way.
They had all these things that could have gone wrong, and every single one of them went right. And one of those things is the way that Bradley Cooper played Rocket.
Yeah.
You believe that you're watching this happen, and of course you're not, but he makes it happen. And because of that, Bradley Cooper as Rocket is my number five.
Yay. Cool.
He's on my honorable. And wait till you hear his performance in two is really good. And there's a lot more touching stuff that he does.
There's a lot more feels in that movie.
Yeah,
too.
It's really great. He's awesome.
I can't wait to see it then.
All right, James, you're number five.
My number five would be from Emperor's New Groove, Eartha Kitt. Disney Crank pull the lever. And I just Cusco, find the llama. It's just like it's like classic Eartha Kitt. Mm-hmm. It's drawn exactly like her. She's a Disney villain, and that movie is so Looney Tunes.
And
I think she just, well, Kronk is right up there with her. I always just appreciated the character design. She was sort of like a even skinnier Cruella de Vil. And she just had that perfect Eartha Kitt, you know, that Catwoman. So for me, I thought she stole the movie of Emperor's New Groove, Eartha Kitt.
That is a good one.
My number five, and I don't know if it's just because he looked like, I noticed this behavior in my actual animals, would be Antonio Banderas in Puss in Boots.
Yay.
I don't know what it is. And as soon as I could find a little stuffed one, it's in my car currently, that it is just there. And I know it's there. And because it's just those eyes looking up at you. And he is just, I enjoyed that movie. I enjoyed it when he was in Shrek 2.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then when they gave him his own standalone movie, I was like, oh, we're going. We went. I saw this in the theater. I would like it noted that once I became an adult, I did actually see things in the theater. But as a child, no. I was an Amish. So I, Antonio Banderas.
Yes.
Puss.
Awesome.
In boots.
Nice.
Dave, you're number four.
All right. My number four, and I had to amend my list because this is supposed to be well-known people and celebrities only, right? That's the deal?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Because my number one favorite voiceover performance in any movie is from The Incredibles. But I can't pick that guy because he's not, in my opinion, a celebrity. And I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, or maybe I'll mention it at the end. Go ahead.
Who is it?
Is it Brad Bird?
Brad Bird,
yeah.
as Edna Mode, is my all-time favorite voiceover in any movie ever, ever, ever. But Brad Bird's not a celebrity. So I can't, I'm not picking Brad Bird, but I'm going to stick with The Incredibles because it's my favorite Pixar movie. And I think the guy that gets the most laughs for the parts that he's in is Samuel L. Jackson as Frozone.
Oh, yes.
He's not in it much, but when he's in it, he's hilarious. And I think one of the other things that really makes me like this, and anybody that has kids and has seen this ad nauseum, like I have, not that I'm complaining, but there on the DVD, there is a special feature where Mr. Incredible and Frozone do a commentary of a cartoon that was drawn about them.
Ah, no way.
It is maybe the funniest animated thing I've ever seen in my life. And the animation in this cartoon is very much like old fashioned, like maybe 60s like, style animation.
Like Johnny Quest?
Yeah,
Hanna-Barbera limited animation.
Stop motion-y kind of things, like with like a lot of repetitive movements.
Yeah.
And this is like a cartoon that they're watching that has never been released to the public. And Mr. Incredible and Frozone sit down to do a commentary of it. And Samuel Jackson is hysterical on it, trashing this thing and so happy that nobody ever got to see it. It is so funny. Do yourself a favor and watch this. It is so funny. And Craig T. Nelson certainly holds his own, but Samuel Jackson is the star of that and the guy that I gravitate towards in The Incredibles. He's my number four.
I got to break out my DVD or my Blu-ray. I never saw that feature. Or YouTube. Or the YouTube.
It's made it to YouTube.
Those newfangled YouTubes that you guys use.
Look on the YouTubes.
My number four. Oh,
it's your four.
Is it my number four? Okay.
It's your number
four. Number four is Dom DeLuise. I know he's done a lot of voiceovers, but I particularly love Jeremy from Secret of NIMH. Because for some reason, I really love that movie. Don Bluth. And he does Jeremy the Raven. And the whole thing about sparklies. And, oh, Mrs. B, you got a sparkly. And so I always, but at the same time, I can kind of add in Tiger from American Tail.
Yep.
Itchy from All Dogs Go to Heaven. Mm-hmm. And Fagin from Oliver and Company. So I want to say he's probably the 70s version of Phil Harris. like Phil Harris was like, he did tons of voiceovers in the 60s and stuff. So Dom DeLuise is like my 70s, 80s voiceover. But Jeremy, his character Jeremy, who helps the Brisbees move the home, and they all die in mud. And that movie is so dark. When I saw it, I was just like, oh, I wish it could get darker, right? Because Watership Down's the best. But
yeah,
but
I remember like we read the story and then you watched the cartoon and you're like, I'm going to have nightmares. That and Rescuers for me.
But the character Jeremy was like, the fun. He was the levity of everything. And I just thought it was beautifully animated. So I like Jeremy, Dom DeLuise, Secret of NIMH.
My number four, these movies just, I love these movies. I don't own any of them, but I love them. It would be Steve Carell as Gru in Despicable Me. And I don't know what it is, but I absolutely adore the man. And I love the Minions. And I love his, even just when you go on the ride at Universal, I love the fact that it's his voice and he's taking you through the whole thing. That's my number four, Steve Carell. Dave, you're number three.
All right. My number three, I had to, you didn't specify which kind of animation.
Oh my God. Did I have to lay everything out for you?
Have you met me?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going claymation on this one, which means my number three, say what you will about the man, he is a scumbag, but I love the performance, and I think he's hysterical in Chicken Run. My number three is Mel Gibson as Rocky the Rhode Island Red. It's so funny. I love Chicken Run. Chicken Run, and like, I mean, like, if you're going to go Wallace and Gromit, I'm fine with that, but Peter Salas isn't a celebrity. He's Wallace. So, like, I guess I would do that more so than this, but I love those guys, those movies that those guys made. And this is this to me was one of the one that I instantly thought of, because as a parent, you watch, like I said, some of these things over and over again, and some of them get embedded in your head. And for whatever reason, my son loved Chicken Run, and Mel Gibson got stuck in my head, unfortunately.
No.
It's definitely better than Pocahontas.
Oh yes,
this is John Smith. Yeah, he's a lot more fun being a chicken than John Smith.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's not like a long song either, because that dude cannot sing. He does sing in Chicken Run. I think he's singing. He's like riding a bicycle and he sings, but you know it's supposed to be bad.
Yeah,
I love Chicken Run. Chicken Run is great because it's like making fun of like World War II movies and they're damn chickens,
like Hogan's Heroes.
Yes, it's Hogan's Heroes.
I see nothing.
So yeah, Mel Gibson, Chicken Run, my number three.
Okay.
I'm going with Madagascar. Sacha Baron Cohen as King Julian.
Oh God.
Because it's sort of like your Puss in Boots. I just like somebody with a nice thick accent that just says silly. Even Gru, you have the pattern.
I have accents.
That silly accent. And I love King Julian, the lemur. He's the king of the lemurs, and not necessarily I'm a big fan of the Madagascar movies, but whenever he came on screen, I was just busting a gut. I just love King Julian and his arrogance and his stupidity at the same time. So Sacha Baron Cohen, King Julian.
Nice.
My number three, I loved the Lego movie. It's going to be my buddy, Chris Pratt.
Really?
Emmett. Just everything is awesome. There is no time that anytime I think about like a happy moment, I don't think about that whole number in the movie. That there's just something about that everything is awesome song that just gets stuck in your head, and he's so innocent and joyful and just naive, and I just enjoy that. So it's Chris Pratt. In the Lego movie.
Two guardians in the
I know.
All right, my number two, we're sticking with Robert Zemeckis and a different kind of animation. I tried to hit all kinds of different animation in mind, and this would be what James was talking about on our Who Framed Roger Rabbit episode, that idea of that motion capture animation in the Polar Express, which is really a really creepy movie.
All right,
but I love it. Yeah, like and he plays so many different characters, but the one that always gets me is the conductor. So that's my number two. It's Tom Hanks as the conductor, not so much as the other people. This is another movie that when you have kids at Christmas, you watch it a lot. And this one was a little more special for us because we read the book a lot. This was like a staple for every holiday before even the movie came out. This was one of our Christmas stories. And to hear Tom Hanks not only playing this character and personifying this guy that you're thinking of when you read the book, he says the lines that you're reading to your child. And it's one of those things where it gets you. I mean, especially when you see your child reacting to it. I would not have picked this, you know, had I not had these experiences with my son, but for what it meant to my son as a little boy, this movie has to be, and he has to be my number two. I almost put him as number one because of a kind of a place that it holds in our family's history. This means a lot to my son, and the fact that I guess I get to go through that with him, and we'll always kind of have that, makes that my number two.
Awesome.
James?
Very cool. My number two is, I'm going to go, I don't know if he's really famous nowadays. I mean, I don't think anybody, I don't think millennials know who he is, but I love Peter Ustinov as Prince John in Robin Hood, Disney's Robin Hood.
Just because people today don't know it doesn't mean.
I think with me, it's because, again, I was a kid from the 70s, mm-hmm. and you didn't have VHS. The only way you relived your Disney memories was you got the long playing story album. Same with Star Wars. Like I learned every line of dialogue because you would listen to that album, and it would pretty much be the entire movie. And I remember growing up with the Robin Hood album, that the story album. So, and I always just loved and just relished that performance of Prince John. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sucking his thumb and mommy. Oh, he always did like him best. And him with Sir Hiss, you know. And then when he does the ooh-la-lally, a crown. And he's like, oh, you know, and he's like, oh, fortune tellers, stop the coach, you know. Oh, and I just love that performance. So I don't know, a lot of people know who Peter Ustinov is nowadays, but I did like that vocal performance. Prince John.
Nice.
My number two harkens back to the 70s as well. My favorite movie growing up. Other than Pete's Dragon, because that also was my favorite.
I know Pete's Dragon is so great.
But was Charlotte's Web.
Oh.
And for me, it was all about Paul Lynde and Templeton.
I love Templeton.
Can sing. The fair is a veritable smorgasbord, orgasbord. After the crowds have ceased. Each night when the lights go down, it can be found on the ground.
All around.
That's where a rat can glut. So I
am with you. I love Templeton.
I love Paul Lynde in general, but I love Paul Lynde and Charlotte's Web because the story is so, it's a dark story.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to kill something. Something's going to die.
I don't want to die. Whenever you just yellow.
No, no.
I don't want to die. And also the ending. Especially this past Christmas, whenever Debbie Reynolds passed away.
Yes.
People would post that whole little final Charlotte scene, and you're just like, oh my God.
Oh God.
You just wish it was animated by another studio than Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
You watch it and you're like, oh, Hanna-Barbera, no.
They didn't know what to do with such a deep.
But again, the voice acting in that is tremendous.
So for me, number two, Paul Lynde.
All right.
Our number ones.
Number one. Whereas on the last one, I went totally schmaltzy and all about my son, I'm being completely selfish and self-centered with my number one and picking who I consider the funniest or the second funniest human being to ever breathe oxygen in his lungs. And my number one is Jerry Seinfeld as Barry in B-Movie because it's just Jerry Seinfeld. He's just doing his act as a bee. And he doesn't do movie. Like the only movies he's in are like when he does like Jerry Seinfeld comedian, like a documentary about comedy. He doesn't do stuff like this.
Yeah.
It was like a shooting star that he was even in a movie. So how could I not pick the guy that to me is responsible for the co-responsible for the greatest television show in history and some of the funniest comedy ever. Jerry Seinfeld, B-Movie, is my number one.
Well, what's up with that? I'm number one. I'm going with television animation, and it's Mark Hamill as the Joker. I think he is like quintessential Joker. And it's Luke Skywalker. Like, how the hell did that happen? How the hell did Mark Hamill, who disappeared in obscurity, come up and he just had this in them? You never knew. There's so much potential in that man that you never knew. And then we went to voice acting. You can see how much he can deliver. And I just loved him in the animated series. He's done the video games. And he just nails that Joker because it's a mix of menace and then that fun Cesar Romero Joker, who's always been my favorite. Uh-huh. it's still cartoonish. And he just has that, he's able to like layer it where it's that maniacalness to like that dark. There's that one where it's like a Batman Begins. It's the Joker Returns, I think. Mm-hmm. And he kind of shows footage of Batman, like of his parents dying. And he goes, oh, all this time, you know, you became Batman because your parents die. He goes, it'd be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. Like he just delivers that line. So like, and then it just, Batman goes over the edge and just crashes through the glass. So for me, I just love Mark Hamill's Joker. Like he is the Joker voice and the laugh.
Nope.
Yeah, that seemed to be like the thing he was most proud of for a very long time. Because we've friends of ours, like we've met him and stuff. And for a while before he was doing any kind of Star Wars like conventions and talking about Star Wars, it seemed like he was more than happy to talk about his role as the Joker. But if you tried to talk about Luke Skywalker to him, he was like, eh, you know, that's in the past. I don't really want to talk about Luke Skywalker. But the Joker, he would do the voice for you, like out on the street.
Yeah, and he still does it now where he reads the Trump tweets. And like he loves doing the joke. I know I was at Celebration and I know he was losing his voice. So a lot of his talks, he didn't really break into the Joker voice. He was a little fatigued. But yeah, when you see all those other things where he just reads stuff as the Joker, it's so great. It's so much glee and fun. And at the same time, whatever's in the script, he can bring the menace. Mm-hmm. You know, like he did the voice and killing joke. And I think they're doing like a Harley and Batman. I don't know if he's going to be in that one, but he's also in the video game because I always play DC Online. Mm-hmm. And on DC Online, if you play that, he's the Joker voice. And it's always like, oh, Bane is getting the new venom toxin. And so you just hear it and you're like, there's a place in the game where you go into a vault and you knock some presents or boxes over and you get free stuff. It's like you do your daily vault, you know, in this game. And he'd always be like, oh, welcome to win prizes or a bunch of other crap. It's just so great. And what's funny is even in Kingsman, it was hard to not hear, like when Mark Hamill makes his appearance in Kingsman, he's a professor, so he's kind of putting on this like British-y accent. Uh-huh. But he sounds like the Joker. He's like, oh, he always sets it there, you know, and he's like, the Joker.
Yeah, that's how he sounds now. When he does the trickster, because he reprised the trickster on The Flash on TV, and when he did Cockknocker and Silent Bob.
Yes! Like, yeah, he kind of places it right there. And it's almost like a Joker. Burgess Meredith meets the Joker. God, yes. Kind of a little bit penguinish.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right, my number one is an actor that I could watch read the phone book. I love this man so much.
Gilbert Gottfried.
John Lithgow as Farquaad. I love John Lithgow. I could watch anything he does. Third Rock from the Sun was my favorite show for so long, just to watch him be awkward. and of course, he is the arch nemesis in Buckaroo Banzai, which is one of my favorite movies. So
Raising Kane.
He's just amazing.
Even
Footloose.
Garp.
No.
The first time I saw Garp where he plays, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just amazing in that.
So I just, and I love, especially when Farquaad dies and he's again with the ride, he's there. So I get to see him all the time and hear him all the time.
The interrogation scene though, that's the best.
Yes. So that is my number one, John Lithgow.
Nice.
So there's some really good movies. I think there are some movies that I'm gonna have to check out too.
Absolutely.
Out of this best five list.
Yeah.
So.
And we probably all have honorable mentions as well.
Oh, yes. Too. James, what were your honorable mentions?
Okay. Let's see. I'll go this real quick. I do enjoy Jack Black as Kung Fu Panda. Mm. I enjoy that. Jeremy Irons as Scar. Oh. It was a great performance. I just talked about Watership Down. I love Watership Down. And John Hurt as Hazel was always my favorite. And the last would be Boris Karloff as the Grinch. Or... Ooh. I enjoy a little movie every time Halloween rolls around. It used to show on TV a little Rankin and Bass movie called Mad Monster Party. And it's a stop motion like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with all your Universal monsters.
Oh.
And he played the Doctor, which was pretty much him just, and it looked like Boris Karloff.
Yeah.
And the whole plot is he is going to give away all his secrets, mad scientist secrets to somebody. So he invites all the monsters to the castle and all the monsters are sort of plotting against each other to take the secrets. And there's a nephew that he has named Felix Flanken, who sounds like Jimmy Stewart. And there's even a Jessica Rabbit type femme fatale that's made. It's a creature. She has red hair and she's busty just like Roger Rabbit in a gold dress. And he plays a doctor. So I as much as I love the Grinch, I would say I love Boris Karloff in Mad Monster Party.
There
you go. Check it out. Halloween. It's like a tradition for me. I watch it all the time.
Wow.
Dave, do you have any honorable mentions?
I have a ton.
Hey.
Because this list was like,
I know, oh my five God. Is hard to narrow it down.
This list was insane. Yeah. I mean, Eddie Murphy, like everybody likes Donkey. I prefer Mushu from Mulan, Eddie Murphy. I got Benedict Cumberbatch as Smaug.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Depp as Victor Van Dort in Corpse Bride. Michael J. Fox, Milo Thatch in Atlantis. I do have Gilbert Gottfried on my list as well.
Yeah, Gilbert's great.
Bill Hader as Flint Lockwood in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Chris Sarandon as Jack Skellington. But my and I also have Rowan Atkinson from Lion King as Zazu.
Zazu.
But my 5.5, I was going back and forth, and both these guys just missed the list because I love Anastasia. I don't know. I know some people don't, but I love it. And I was back and forth between Kelsey Grammer and Hank Azaria as Bartok the Bat.
Speaking of another character with an accent, that's right. Bartok was so great.
So, yeah, this was a great list to make. And we did leave off, like James was saying, either before we recorded or right when we started, that, you know, we could even really name this list if you wanted to, the Robin Williams Memorial Best Celebrity Voice Acting List or something, because how could we not mention him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some other ones that people would say were crazy for. I mean, like, everybody goes crazy over Ellen DeGeneres as Dory. I'm not, I mean, I didn't put it on my list, but these are things that people are going to be like, y'all are insane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're just so iconic.
Yeah, you don't have Tim Allen as Buzz Lightyear. Like, you know, like all this kind of stuff. Like, this is just our
favorite characters that we just kind of were drawn to.
Yeah.
Yeah, as much as we like that. Yeah, but yeah, Ellen and Robin Williams. I want to say, like, again, we talk about the new era of Disney with, as far as Roger Rabbit. It's like, really, after casting him, that kind of became the trend, was we have to cast a big comedian to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And for good or bad, because we've seen it done really badly, because Robin Williams did like Robots, which was terrible. or they did Martin Short was the robot in Treasure.
Yeah.
They tried too hard in some cases. It wasn't a natural fit. But Robin Williams as the genie was a complete natural fit. They have a character to be able to talk about anything and to pull out anything and to just free flow of consciousness. It was like the perfect marriage of a celebrity and a role in animation.
Yeah, you're right. Because before that, with Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast, there were people in it, sure, that people would recognize, like David Ogden Steers or people like that, but they weren't the marquee celebrities like Robin Williams was. And after
Eddie
that,
and
it became the thing. Definitely, yeah, absolutely.
It's how they got to sell it.
Yeah.
And speaking of Jerry Orbach as Lemire is another great role, and also Billy Crystal as Mike Wazowski.
Yeah.
It's like just great. Like, he sells that movie. And then you got to mention John Goodman, I guess, if you're going to mention the great voice actors, because that man voices just about every freaking thing.
Mm-hmm.
he's done so many voices. I mean, he does like the Transformers guy. Sad that I don't remember the movie, but Valerian in the Tomb. I saw that, and he does a voice of an alien randomly. I just heard the voice. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, that's John Goodman. And it's like, okay. So yeah, I mean, and he was in Emperor's New Groove and then Sully. And yeah, you're like, he does a lot of stuff too. So.
Yeah.
So sure. I think our lists are just pretty much what kind of taps into our hearts. As much as we love, there's no denying how great all those other characters are.
It was hard to narrow it down.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot one more. Vincent Price as Radigan.
Oh.
There was a,
nice. Anyway.
Okay.
Sorry.
See, we could just keep adding. This will be the top.
Pretty much every villain is a great vocal performance.
The top 29s. So thank you for joining us. Thank you, James. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
And start compiling your best of fives and let us know on our Facebook page.